And we back. Back.
Episode 59. Nice.
Laura there, my boy.
We made it back. It's been I don't know how long it's been. It's been a decent amount of time again. But
we like to take our breaks.
That's all right. I feel like at this point we don't even need to mention it no more. But you know, we would be remiss if we did not mention before we get deep into the shit, no pause pandemic, because the pandemic's not over. RIP to the podcast that inspired us, the whole reason that we even here in the first place, our brothers.
I didn't know we was going down here, man.
Oh man, we got to get into it a little bit, bro. Damn.
Say goodbye.
I mean, we already we kind of already seen the writing on the wall, but you know, when it officially gets confirmed, it's a little different, man. Once again, the patriarchy ruined something for us. You know, the patriarchy and white supremacy.
Undefeated, we've said it on this podcast before, but white supremacy is putting up Kevin Durant era Golden State Warriors numbers, and we can't do anything to stop.
Unfortunately, so that is the end of the Bodega Boys podcast, as confirmed by the Kid Miro on IG Live yesterday. And of course, Deezus has nothing to say because he is a bald headed piece of shit.
Yeah, the Deezus heel turn has been something to behold. You know what I mean? And he told us he was going to do it, but the streets, we didn't believe him. We said, you know what?
Yeah. Deezus,
he ain't going to do all that.
Yeah. Well, we do still have the Showtime show, but even that's getting scaled back ever so slightly. So who knows where the fuck shit's going. So with that being said, Showtime, Kai Shop. If y'all looking for y'all next golden goose, come holler at your boys from Beware the Ills. All right. Listen, don't think just because we love them niggas that we won't take every fucking cent that they got. Miro and his big ass family and them four kids, I will take food out of Azalea's mouth. All right.
Listen, I am never, and I repeat, never going to be too good to sell out. No. For any type of sponsorship or anything, I'm willing to give it all up.
Listen.
I'm ready to trade it all.
Listen, the next Jenkins and Jones. Whew, listen, ooh, Garlic and Coon. That's us. Oh, all right,
Spade and Cricket. Let's get it. We're gonna shuck and jive our way to the number one spot on the line too.
But for real though, welcome back, episode 59. Beware the Ills. We are your esteemed hosts, your boy Uptown Ace Boogie. Still going by the Bull on Twitter, the one, the only Jackie Daytona, human vampire. I'm sorry, not human vampire, human bartender. My bad.
Yes, definitely not a vampire.
You can follow me on the socials at Uptown Ace Boogie. And my other brother, who's somewhere, I assume, roasting down in Delaware. Is it hot down there, bruv?
Nothing crazy. I think it was like 85 today.
Man, 95 up here today, bro.
Ooh.
Yeah, 95 on the lake. Makes it extra nasty.
That red state got your temperatures all hot.
bro.
It's not to treat y'all well.
Yeah, man. Well, that's what happens when you when you repeal concealed carry, and now anybody can just walk into a store and buy a gun and just walk around with that bitch and shoot niggas with it. You feel me? Gets people fired the fuck up.
The Lord is punishing y'all for JD Vance.
Oh my god, that shit is wild, bro. Yeah, like they really concealed carry. You don't need no license, bro. Obviously, don't need no background check, no license, no nothing. And we got stand your ground laws in public and in private. So you can literally just pull out your unlicensed strap and shoot somebody and say you felt threatened. And that's it.
And they wonder why we have so many mass shootings.
Yep. So that's what's going on in Ohio. You know, but it's a lot of other fucked up shit going on all over everywhere. Let's see. The war on women's reproductive rights has not slowed down at all. We getting more and more strict abortion legislation passed every single day. There's still a war in fucking Ukraine that has not slowed down at all. Got our gas prices consistently up over $5 a gallon. When I was out in Cali, you know, about 2 months ago now, that shit was at $7 a gallon. Inflation is through the roof. This is the worst inflation that we've had since the early 70s, when niggas said inflation couldn't get no worse. Niggas cannot afford to eat. You feel me? Niggas cannot afford to go about their everyday lives. Inflation hitting so crazy. Rent's going up everywhere. We got all these fucking mass shootings. All these fucking natural disasters because of climate change. Did I miss anything? Ron DeSantis is thinking about running for president.
And through it all, your man was out here humping in the air.
Oh, man. You know what? No. It's time, because we said we was going to address it. So it's time to address it. It is Pride Month, where, you know, we talk about sex posy-ness and everything else. And, you know, much love to, you know, our homosexual, you know, our gay, non-binary, you know, trans, bi, asexual. Shout out to SpongeBob. And everybody else,
wherever you fall on the spectrum,
yes, panties. Yeah. our brothers, our brothers, sisters, and non-binary folk. Shout out to y'all this y'all month. Keep doing y'all gay shit. You feel me? Keep pushing the gay agenda. All right. Wild the fuck out. This y'all time too. But yeah, so you can't go through Pride Month without, you know, talking about sex shit and bad sex shit. So I said I was going to address it. I am a man of my word when I feel like being a man of my word. So, Deshaun Watson. Oh, boy. I don't even know where to begin. So,
the nastiest man there was, man.
Man himself, my starting quarterback, my $250 million starting quarterback.
Guaranteed
every penny of that shit. So, you know, he's had these sexual assault allegations or sexual misconduct allegations looming for some time now. He actually sat out all of last season partially because of it. So originally, you know, after we had the, what was it, 21 or 22 original, you know, cases going on, the grand juries declined to bring criminal charges upon him. So Andrew Berry, the Harvard whiz himself, decided, you know what? This is a good time to go blow a bag on this nigga. Bronco Nation.
The old American. Let's ride. Yes, sir.
Let's ride.
The old American sports adage, if the courts say it's okay, no matter how it looks publicly to our fans, to anybody, as long as the courts say it's okay, man, we got to make that move.
So he still had these. So he still had these. This is not funny. We're laughing at Russell Wilson. He still had these civil suits looming, which, you know, civil suits are, there's not as much burden of proof. Shout out to Benny the Butcher, who we will discuss later. You don't have to prove as much. The bar is very, very low in order to be
preponderance of evidence, I believe.
Something like that. In order to be awarded some type of financial settlement. So he still got that going on. But, you know, everybody was kind of speculating, like, okay, he got off on the criminal charges. He got off on the criminal charges. In addition to the fact that he sat out all the last year, which seemed like a blessing in disguise at the time, because it looked like the NFL was going to treat it as time served, right? So he sat out all last year, did not have any criminal charges against him. So it was like, okay, well, what can we really do? We can't really suspend you additional games when you haven't been found guilty or liable of anything, and you already sat out. However, when a nasty man gets nasty, there is nothing
and he would have got away with it wasn't for these small blogs like the New York Times doing their damn research.
Oh, and this man is God, quoting Lil Durk and leaving emoji eyes on Diddy pictures. Like, nigga, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't think that Diddy picture was real, but that's how far this has gone. that could be portrayed as real. So your man, so like from the outside kind of looking in, we've heard, like, if you've been following this to kind of any extent previously to like this past summer, you've kind of heard what was going on, and it was just some very just nasty behavior, just extremely unnecessary, just some freakazoid type shit.
Yeah.
And then to kind of see the Browns trade for him, kind of with the idea, like you were speaking to, that this was kind of in the past or somewhat dwindling down, and the team was willing to kind of take the PR hit to get a guy who, to be fair, is one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league, young, on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
It made some sense, and we were going to laugh at you guys regardless, because one, just adding a nasty person is something that you got. It's accepted in the NFL, but it's still something in societally wise, it's not even a word.
Close enough.
Is still looked down upon. And then for this more story to come out over the past couple weeks.
Oh boy.
It looks real bad for y'all, to be honest.
So yes, the story's gotten worse. And we were, I think as most fans, we were don't want to speak for everybody. I don't want to say, you never want to say anybody was okay or comfortable with accepting him to the squad, but you know, no cap, you know, football fans are the worst, and they will put a lot, they will overlook a lot of things for a top five quarterback who legitimately has a chance to take the Browns to the Super Bowl. Real quick,
and it's not just a Browns thing too. This is a sports thing too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look how many other teams were chasing him, were courting him. So it got worse. So I think it started at 21 or 22 cases, and then we got another one. We got an additional one. I think they said they're going to file another additional one.
I believe, but it was 25 or 26. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the New York Times, story was really the one that, no pun intended, busted the whole thing wide open. Oh. You know, so we find out just some of the details of how nasty the nasty man is. And it's like, you know, there's always going to be some, you know, or three sides to every story. You know, there's always going to be some, you know, oh, hey, you know, was this consensual? Did they have an understanding that Deshaun Watson was coming in looking for a happy ending and they, you know, consented with that? Or is it a situation where this nigga just walked in, took his pants off, and upwardly thrust it in the air? And it's starting to look a lot more like the latter. And it looks especially bad when you realize that this man's transcript started leaking from the court. This nigga didn't care who was giving him massages, bruh. He could not care less.
We know from following sports, you know that athletes are some of the most particular individuals on earth. They find a routine, or they have their superstitions, and kind of stick with that. So they were saying that this man had 66 different massage therapists work on his body in a period of, I think, 17 or 18 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is insane.
It's insane, and a lot of which were not trained, not certified, not even specifically sports, you know, massage therapists, or, you know, had no type of, you know, previous training or previous work with NFL players. This nigga was literally finding any massage therapist that he could in the greater Houston area and getting his nut off. That is a fucking problem. So when you start hearing about everything else, bro, or when you hear that and then start putting the piece together for everything else, it makes perfect sense why he's in this fucking situation that he's in. There was one transcript that leaked from the court where the lawyer was just like, yeah. So first of all, he met this chick at her mama's house, her mother's house. Nigga, he wasn't worth $250 million at the time, but he was worth a good amount of money anyway. Why are you driving to random women's houses that you don't know? You know what I'm saying? To get massages. Mm-hmm. Why did you have Mia Khalifa?
Hey, listen. What are we not gonna do?
In a maid outfit, hooping, dunking, or trying to dunk on you in your own home. And yes, we are gonna slander Mia Khalifa because she was mid.
No, I'm not slandering. We can slander Mia Khalifa. I'm not saying let's not down having porn stars come to your house and do stuff because once we get to Showtime and Cash App,
Showtime.
But you on the way.
But yeah, no. So it's like we saw the exchange, and the prosecutor's like, "Yeah, bro, were you aware that she wasn't trained?" This nigga, that was not my priority at the time. Did you know that she wasn't even certified? That was not my priority at the time. Were you aware that she didn't really have any type of training whatsoever, or you just weren't concerned about that? That wasn't my priority. I just wanted a massage. Nigga.
Deviant and behavior.
And you think that helps your cause. So between that and the happy baby pose, which officially I said, once I Googled the happy baby pose, that shit changed my entire perspective on this case. Lock that man up.
Man, listen, and the thing is, right, we've seen, like, with any type of sexual kind of case like this, we see people on both sides. And there's always the contingent of people saying, oh, these women are lying, he's wrong. And
always.
That is just a terrible way to view things. One, there are women that lie about this, but the percentage of women who do lie about stuff like this is minuscule.
We talked about it. Less than 3%.
Yeah, and so for the idea for someone to say, "Hey, I'm trying to lie on this person and get clout by embarrassing myself and revealing sexual things that happened to me in public and shaming myself just to get up in some sort of way is stupid." It's a hard way. If you're one of those people who kind of deny that, you're a piece of shit.
Yes. And it don't matter who it is, Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, Tory Lanez, you feel me? Deshaun Watson, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is obviously as symbolic of, you know, the misogyny and the patriarchy that we live in, where, you know, niggas would do anything to discredit women, anything.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, in its case of, this is 20, almost 30 separate cases. No way that almost 30 different women are lying about this guy. No way. The sheer numbers can't be lied.
Yeah. So there's clearly a pattern of perversion going on here. And honestly, don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, but at some point he's going to come back and play football again. Yep. And at some point, everybody's going to not forget that this shit ever happened, but people are going to cast that aside if he's tossing touchdown passes. And, you know, regardless of who or what it is, the issue in America as a whole is the fact it's crazy that America is the country of the slogan of hashtag never forget, but we forget everything. We forget everything.
Land of second chances. But we sure will turn a blind eye to why you needed a second chance in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, between second chances, you know, our daily mass shootings and, you know, or our lawmakers that want us to ignore a fucking insurrection in the Capitol. There's always this.
Like my coach said, it's just a small little dust up, a small misunderstanding.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, obviously the Washington Commanders are not without fault. But it's always this plea. Basically what happens, somebody does something wrong, they do something absolutely heinous, and then get mad at you for not moving past it, for not forgiving them. And that is what happens when you live in a country that is based on toxic Christianity. Because Christianity, everyone talks about, it was, you know, it's Jesus-like, it's God-like to forgive or to forget. Some things you're not supposed to forget. You know what I'm saying? This is not a thing. This Deshaun Watson issue is not something that we should forget. The insurrection in the Capitol is not something that we should forget. Mass shootings are not something that we should forget. However, you're going to get chastised by a very, very vocal group of people. You're going to get called a social justice warrior for wanting to hold people accountable. But holding people accountable is what the fuck we do right here on Beware the Ill. So, speaking of holding niggas accountable, Draymond Green, come to the front of the congregation. Man, that nigga stinks.
I've been a team. Draymond is a, he's a loud bum.
just running around yelling and shit. I've always been under the idea that Draymond really is what makes that team go. And I think prior to this season, I think he was. He is the playmaker. He is the bully. He is the defensive presence. He is the energy. But what niggas need to understand, and, you know, because once again, you keep seeing, you know, all these articles about, oh, Golden State don't deserve this, and niggas, you know, for some reason trying to discredit Steph Curry again like they always do. This is the most talented team that Golden State has had, just talent-wise. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they had a team that won, you know, 73 games, but hey, you look at the roster, it was really them four niggas that was carrying them, or throwing Iguodala, and maybe David West, that was carrying them through a lot of that shit. It wasn't like you look at their roster and 1 through 13, they were stacked with niggas that could come off the bench anytime and change the game. This is the first time that they have that, and this is why Draymond Green's no longer essential. But at the same time, this team is about to win another title.
I don't know, man.
So, Wes, how do you feel about the finals so far?
They've gone somewhat pretty much how I've expected them to go. When we got the matchup, I was kind of bullish on Boston's chances, knowing just how good of a defense they play.
I just want to say, I predicted Golden State and Boston in the finals, and Golden State will win it in six on this here pod at the beginning of the playoffs. So
I'm going to run that back. He was big on Charlotte in the playing game, as what I remember. So I was like, yeah, I was big on. I was like, Boston's got the defense, and they got size kind of everywhere. They're the bigger team. I was going to say that it was going to pause. Come on, man. You know I'm the pause, the prince of pause.
Shout out to Dr. Umar beating the Charges. God damn it.
We'll see. I know that man is a Dairy Queen getting a vanilla blizzard as we speak.
Man, that nigga went hard to clear his name, bruh. Hard.
Oh my god, that's how you know you did guilty. Niggas look like me out there defending something he knew he was wrong doing. What? So I had picked Boston in seven. Thinking that, seeing what we had kind of seen, I didn't believe that Golden State's kind of supporting cast would play up to kind of what they've been doing right now. Like, Andrew Wiggins decided to finally become an NBA player.
Yeah.
Over these past few games.
Fucking loony.
Clay is all the offensive rebounds, that nigga pool party. Watching Golden State makes my stomach hurt. I don't like those niggas. But yeah, they are, at this point, damn near inevitable. So,
yep,
it is what it is.
I mean, it's again, they've you know they got the talent, you know they got the coaching. But I'm gonna be honest, bro. I want Steph Curry to get this ring and to get this Finals MVP so badly, so the niggas can stop acting like he's Aaron McKee.
Boo. Like, no. It's jokes over everything. I need Wiggins to score 40 in this
next game. No, niggas been playing on this man's name for so long. And again, I understand the hate as, let's say, a Cleveland fan, right? Obviously, we hate Steph Curry with everything that we have. Or anyone, you know, a Clippers fan or anyone who had direct run-ins with Steph. But the general hate of Steph Curry and the constant attempts to try and invalidate his career. It is Nick. Steph Curry is how old?
34, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Yeah, he just became, I think, the second oldest nigga to drop 40 in the finals game, behind Jordan. And, like, the lengths the niggas go to try to invalidate his career, there are still people saying, here's looking at you, JR, you bald motherfucker. It's niggas that claim that Steph Curry has something to prove in this finals. What the fuck do he got to prove, bruh?
All right, so what? We got a, I see, your Cleveland timeline is definitely different from the timeline I'm seeing, because I've seen, like, we get our jokes off on Steph, but that's because he's solidified. That's because we know his legacy is set.
Cleveland niggas truly think that he cannot carry a team like he hasn't already carried a team. People think that he cannot be the best player on a championship team. And you know what the fucked up part is? Iguodala should not have gotten that MVP.
Not at all.
You know what I'm saying?
They should have gave it to LeBron or somebody.
That's what I'm saying. A fucking weighted Brian Windhorst vote has changed the discourse of NBA Twitter for forever.
It's nasty. It's very nasty work.
Steph still averaged 26, 5-5 in that series.
Yeah, and
he didn't shoot the best, but
do you have the stats?
Come on, man. No, but I saw him yesterday.
I just pulled him up here. I just pulled him up. Iguodala got the Finals MVP.
Yep.
After holding LeBron to 36, 13-9. So Iguodala held this man to some of the greatest numbers we've ever seen in the NBA Finals. And
that may have been LeBron's best performance. It definitely was numbers-wise in the Finals. He just didn't have nobody.
Yeah. And the voters said, you know what? Fuck this last game.
Oh, man. So here's the thing. Not a Golden State fan. Will never be a Golden State fan. I will always have hate in my heart for these niggas. But I am also a nigga who enjoys a little bit of logic and reason, just a little bit. And I'm not about to sit here and act like this nigga is not who he is. Like, he's not at minimum a top 15 player in NBA history. Like, come on, man. Like, come on. Stop it.
Yeah, and stop it. It's tough for me. I'm in between a rock and a hard place because I hate the Warriors. Mm. And I also, as a Lakers fan, just don't like the Celtics. But I've had to root for the Celtics this series, but like, cause I ain't got no real beef with the Celtics. They're just the Celtics. Like, Jason Tatum's a Duke nigga. I fuck with Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown, though he has the IQ of a brain dead hamster,
very poor handles.
That boy ain't got like zero left hand whatsoever. It's nasty. Like, if he gets a left hand, he's gonna be the greatest player I think of all time. Sky's the limit because everything else he can do, but he just can't fucking dribble. So for me, it's been tough. But Steph's ascended to his thing. This is gonna be his kind of crowning achievement, like you said, for some niggas. But he's been there. He's like you said, top 15. I would agree. It is still funny though to watch him run from switches. he cut the basement light off and he's trying to get upstairs. But no, this is Golden State's time. It's Steph's time. Unless my boy Scott Foster has anything to say about it. I'm praying.
Maybe so. Is that who we getting for game 6?
I believe so. I think last game was Tony Brothers was the head. I think they're saving. They call Scott the extender. I was watching on
the extender.
No pause.
Pause. But
no
pause.
No pause pandemic. No pause Pride Month. So
there we go.
Yeah, on Trill show, they were talking. Somebody had brought up
speaking of Trill. Oh no. We can't get into Trill before we talk about him flaming your ass, bro. How'd it feel to get cooked up by the Trilly man, by the most depressed man on planet Earth?
It's all gravy. Just know the revenge is coming. I don't know how I'm gonna get him back, but I'm gonna figure this shit out, man. Friday, I like school.
Hey, no, he was like, hey, you know what? Wes, I like Wes. Wes is a nice guy. I was like, oh, no, he called you a nice guy. That's the worst. You're a battle rap fan. You know being called a nice guy is the worst thing you can ever be called.
It's upset. I was just upsetting the kid, at least. I'm not happy.
Oh, go ahead. Continue.
We will move forward this, and my revenge will be sweet. And soon. I don't remember what I was saying. Oh, yeah. So Scott Foster, they did some stat about Scott Foster, like in games or series he refs, to extend the series, like the team that's down always like wins that game, so the series gets extended. It was something like, I don't know, I can't remember the number, but it was like a large number to like maybe like a 2 or 3 times where it didn't happen. So if they bring Scott Foster out, we can go back to Golden State for the finals. And you know how them Golden State niggas act in game 7s at the crib.
On June 19th, which would be the day.
Oh, hey. Knicks, yep. Throwing passes behind it, throwing trophies behind their back.
Sunday, June 19th. Special day here in Cleveland. So, you know, listen, I think that Boston is definitely a good enough team to extend it. Jason Tatum's splits have been wild this series, though.
The numbers looking good, too, but when you look at the way it's shooting.
So, I mean, this is, you know, I think people were ready to anoint Jason Tatum as, like, one of the guys. He may not quite be there yet, but he will be. There's no doubt in my mind that he will be. But they may extend it. They not winning this shit, though. They're not coming back from down 3-2. They don't have a firepower. I don't think they had a firepower.
We've seen it before.
We've seen it, but once it, like that quarter they had, what was it, the fourth quarter or third quarter, or whatever, in game one, that was one of the most wild outliers in NBA history. Am I wrong?
But we've seen like we saw the run, second quarter and third quarter last game, where when they wanted shots, when they're driving and kicking, hitting shots, it looks really nice. They niggas just ran out of gas. In the last game, these niggas just ran out of gas. Which is why you don't get down double digits entire first half. But I think they're capable of it. I don't think they will either. Just because it's tough to do it against a team who's done it before and who knows that we don't want to have this extend to a game 7 where anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Because once again, the motto that we had back then in 2016 was, well, just get it to game 7 and see what happens. You know, anytime you make it we saw it with Phoenix. Anytime that you're able to make it a win or go home game for both teams, anything can happen. Anything is possible. So, I do think it would be in Golden State's best interest to go ahead and win that bitch in front of the Mickey Ward fans in Boston. So, Charlene, they was firing. They was firing her ass up, bro.
Called her MTV girl.
But you know, so we mentioned Jaylen Brown, and his lack of handles. As you mentioned, lack of a left hand. But you know, something that I feel like we are even more concerned with, even more hyped about. It's not the left hands, bro. It's not even the left knee or the right knee. It's a rare right hand.
I was going to say, oh, you had me for a second. I said, you went away from hands. He can't possibly talk about the red right hand.
Oh, listen. The Peaky Boys came back and they ended with a vengeance. As you know, we are fans of the 5 British TV shows. As you know, there's only 5 British TV shows ever made in the history of ever. We talked about them before. Peaky Blinders, Top Boy, Game of Thrones, Doctor Who,
The Crown,
and The Crown. Yeah. That's it. There's no more British shows ever. So we are fans of most of those shows. And we've been waiting on the Peaky Boys, the Peaky fucking Blinders to come back for, was it 2019? Was season 5?
It might have been 19 or early 20.
They came back and Tommy Shelby did not let us down, bro. So, Wes, what was your feelings, your thoughts, quips, queries on the final season of Peaky Blinders?
I, like every other season, thoroughly enjoyed that motherfucker. No one going into it knowing it was the final season. Added that little extra oomph to it when it dropped. I watched it. It dropped on Friday. I watched it Saturday. Ran through all six back to back. And I liked every aspect of it. We started out after the assassination attempt going wrong on the big Nazi, Mosley. We went
big
right
Mosley, big cuck boy Mosley.
Oh boy, big right shit. and we start immediately with a touching tribute to our girl Helen McCrory, Aunt Paul.
Aunt Paul
was the most gangster character on that show entirely.
Period.
And it was kind of sad. We knew that we were going to get something. Speaking
sad but touching.
Yeah, no, sad but touching definitely well deserved. And
Narcissa Malfoy.
I'm saying she was Draco Mama. And so we started from there, and then we got to see Tommy, like we do usually, Tommy maneuvering, Tommy plotting, trying to get his plans across, not telling nobody really everything or any the aspects of what he's got kind of going on. And it was interesting to see Arthur.
Dog food Arthur? Man, and he looked bad. The actor looked bad. That nigga might have been in a heroin den for 6 months before we filmed.
Yeah, there's no way you can kind of not method way your act to that type of levels of opium addiction. That boy is itching for real. Somebody please check on him, and we gotta check his Instagram when we get off to make sure everything is for real. All right. so we got to see that. I felt for a lot this season. I felt for Lizzie.
Jack Kennedy. Oh.
Oh no, that Jack Kennedy, wild nigga. Jack wow. Nelson.
Yeah.
In case any of the Kennedy clan are listening, yes, Jack Nelson is a wild nigga.
I'm sure JFK Jr. is listening.
From beyond. Oh no, he's back. Shout out to
Trump, back.
He's back. With the 4-5.
Definitely felt for Lizzie, man. And I really like how they humanized Lizzie this season. Cause I mean, she had already been humanized, but man, like, I mean, bro, and she mentioned it, you know, when they brought up the curse and she was like, yeah, Tommy, you a cursed nigga, but I'm cursed right with you. Everything that you have felt, everything that you have lost, I have too, but I don't even really have you all like that. You get what I'm saying? Like, oof, powerful acting, powerful writing.
Yeah, as all the actors, and like this is what I tell people when I recommend Peaky Blinders, is like every actor on here plays their role to a fucking T.
Absolutely.
There's like even Agent Brody's ridiculous accent is done correctly. Like everybody smokes their fucking role on this one.
But as we know, nobody obviously performs better than Jeremiah. So.
One of the few colored individuals. I didn't even say any words this season.
No, he didn't. Not a single word, bro.
God damn, my man came up with the yopper at the when they
did, bro. He saved the day. He took out the M2 gunner like it was quiet, like it was Call of Duty out there, bro.
Okay, they at least give my man a line or two. Nothing.
I mean, first class Jeremiah.
They gave all the lines to his son when he was trying. when I thought we was getting ready to have a blacked,
scene. I ain't gonna lie. I wanted to see him smash Ada. I wanted to see. I feel like we was robbed of that.
Yeah. Well, there's always the movie.
That's true.
So yeah, we got to see everybody kind of come back. I didn't have to riot, my man. This is a spoiler alert. We should have said that beforehand. But yeah, I told you we riot if Johnny Dogs dies. Johnny Dogs is still here.
He made it. He made
that's
it.
My nigga. Love me some Johnny Dogs.
Uncle Charlie made it through too.
Uncle Charlie's my nigga. Curly's my nigga.
Yeah. The important ones. The important ones made it through. Yeah.
Everyone who was still alive, kind of before who mattered, is still alive, fortunately. But we kind of go through everything that happens. Tommy thinks he's going to die. He kind of lives his life as he's going to die and kind of pushes things to the kind of max and then decides, you know, I'm going to go off and die by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Only to find out. That twist had me hype.
Oh yeah, no, that was maybe the best twist we've seen on Peaky Blinders in all six seasons.
Nah, for sure. Gonna find Tommy's not really sick, and so now the movie is coming out next, and it's set up perfectly for Tommy to go
cream. Tommy and Steve Rogers tag team match versus Hitler and Mosby.
Oh boy! Oh god, that's Red Skull's music. Yeah, so we got socialists versus Nazis.
Yeah,
in a time where black people ain't shit.
Yeah, still, so
I feel extremely conflicted, rooting for the socialist side. But no, this is another great season of one of my favorite shows, one of the greatest shows I think of the last 10 years.
I would say so. I think a big part of that is because I don't know. I can't name any show. I ain't gonna say Peaky's the greatest show I've ever seen, but I can't name any show, even amongst the ones that we throw up there with the greats, the Breaking Bads, the Wires, the Game of Thrones. I don't think any show is more consistent than Peaky Blinders. You can't name a bad Peaky Blinders season. You can name bad seasons of all those other shows, or questionable seasons, I'll say. But Peaky may only have, let's say, two Hall of Fame worthy seasons, but the other ones are still all NBA second team at the worst. While a lot of them other shows may have, you know, some Michael Jordan S seasons, but then they got one that's like third year Chris Middleton. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good analogy. And it's like, I think it's, and that's another testament to Peaky too, being that you only get six episodes.
That's important.
Basically six hours a season. So they gotta hit kind of everything, or else they kind of fuck themselves in the entire season. And like you said, it's even my least favorite season is fucking interesting as fuck, and I enjoy it. So yeah, this is one of them shows that I'm putting up in kind of the upper echelon of TV shows that I enjoy.
Got to. I think there were a couple things, you know, that I can nitpick. I do feel like Tommy's new son, I didn't need a new Shelby. And listen, he ended up being a real one, but I didn't need a new Shelby. And the fact that they only gave us two episodes of him, and he went through this wild, crazy character arc in two episodes, I don't know if I was feeling that all the way. I don't know. I don't know if they gave him an opportunity to get fleshed out all the way.
But the blinder shit happens quick, bro. Like I said, that's
6 hours. And next thing you know, he the realest one, and Finn is out on his ass, which I don't like that. Now, Finn was always kind of, you know, the youngin'. He was always kind of a fuck-up. But I didn't need him to be no traitor snitch nigga, though. Well, he wasn't a snitch, but a traitor. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how I felt about that.
Yeah, it's I was reading some theories and whatnot about that. But yeah, it was it's difficult to see because throughout the entirety of the series, the Shelbys had kind of stuck together for the most part.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what was kind of impressive and honorable about them, just kind of, and to see Finn go out the way he kind of went out. Signing with a nigga he just met last season.
Yeah.
It was tough to see.
Fuck, man. Nigga. Literally had his balls in a vice grip. Oh, boy.
Billy went through a lot in his last couple episodes, man.
Yeah, he got what he deserved. But, and I think the other thing that's a little nitpicky, I think making the IRA the one who assassinated, took out Aunt Paul and our boy Littlefinger and all them, I feel like that was a cop-out, bro. Like, it's almost like they didn't fully know where they was going to take it, and then came back for this season and was just like, oh yeah, let's just make it the IRA. You know what I'm saying? Because honestly, the IRA did not play that big a role this season. You know what I'm saying? Yes, it was there. Yes, there was a part of discussions, but this entire season was about Tommy and Oswald and Jack Dorsey and Michael. You know what I'm saying? So It was like, for them to have pulled off such a monumental task of assassinating Aunt Paul and Abirama Gold and fucking up the attempt to assassinate Mosley, they didn't really do much. They had that, and then, you know, when they try to take out Arthur at the end. Like, yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
They introduced last season.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I did the nice little couple rewatch. So they've kind of, and I think they might have been around in season three. No, that was, season three with the lead.
They've been mentioned for a while.
Pause.
But I still never felt like you really felt them. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. I never feel like you really felt their presence. Like, they were just.
Yeah, they were kind of just a looming thing, kind of enemy. Not enemy, but like something just Tommy had to deal with because he worked with them a little bit earlier on in previous seasons. And they kind of, I don't think it really could have really been anybody else. Like, it would have been Mosley's people, then it would have had to be kind of.
We wanted it to be Michael, though.
Yeah, but Mike ain't gonna turn on the gang like that. He might get gypsy curse on the ass.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Lil Ruby. Kinda,
damn, went out.
That was fucked up, bruh. The way she went out, man. Mm-hmm. But of course, but outside of that, of course, all the emotion and the pain that brought out of, you know, Tommy, who's somebody who, yeah, we've seen suffer, but for the most part, is pretty good at containing it, and he couldn't fucking contain that shit no more, to the point where our boy, the one and only Alfie, making his return and regaining his fucking power. Hell yeah. Alfie was like, hey, bro, I don't give a fuck about all that emotional shit, nigga. You keep that shit at home. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck.
Alfie, the new king of Boston, like a Ralph Tresvant.
I would say... the MVP award for this season, gotta go to this may be Tommy's first MVP award since like season three. You know what I'm saying? Cause politician Tommy, he's still been ruthless. He always gonna be that nigga, but he had to bury a small part of himself in order to, you know what I'm saying? To at least keep up the public appearances. He ain't been in his bag like this in a while. So to see him back there, you know, because of some very unfortunate circumstances, but to see him back there, bruh, I feel like that gave me the warm feeling in my heart that I needed.
So you saw Tommy pull the opera out on some gypsies and lay him down, and that said, and that won you over, huh?
Yeah, that was, oof. It was like, hey, which one of you bitches is, whoop, boom.
That was a cold-blooded. But no, this was for sure a Tommy season. It was kind of built for him. He did his thing the entirety of the season, and I think we're in a good place. Like, going into this last season, we had pretty much confirmed that there was going to be a movie. And coming off the end of last season, I said, I don't know if I want that. I don't know how they're going to get to a point where a movie would be something that we'd be interested in seeing. The way they kind of did this season. I'm excited for the possibility of the movie and where they can take it. Is Arthur still going to be strung out? Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is Ada going to get Isaiah? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who's going to smash Moses' wife next?
Oh, my gosh.
Dog Himmler?
I mean, and Cillian Murphy said that it's going to be a while before we get the movie, so. Ain't nothing to hold your breath for, but it is on the way. Definitely overall, from an acting perspective, writing perspective, you know, getting a satisfying conclusion with Michael finally getting his block knocked off. Them catching the snitches, you know, all that other shit.
Tommy was out of here, honestly.
This was the one. I think this is my favorite season. And that's, whoever says that the last season of a show is their favorite. Never. That's never a thing. You feel me? So, shout out to them Peaky Boys, man. Shout out to them niggas, bro.
Man, the boys, they the thing. They always do. They delivered this time like they expect them to do. And I enjoyed the season two. It's up there for me. I don't know. I really enjoyed season four with my Italians. But this is right there with that.
So yeah, we could transition from the Peaky Boys to the Boys, but ain't really nothing else you need to know other than the fact that Homelander is unhinged and A-Train is a coon. I really feel like that's, you know, Butcher's like, still miserable. You said what?
You mean like A-Train's commercial?
The middle passage on
oh my god.
On VS5. On the Vault Station 5.
Oh, man. Boys is something else, man.
The Boys is something, but it is still fire. Don't get it twisted.
No, this is
yeah, this is shaping up to be my favorite season of that, too. So we're getting a lot of good television, man.
Quick shout out to P-Valley is finally back. The Pink is open again.
Yes.
We are wild.
I've just started my foray into the Pink. So I will keep you guys updated on the next part.
Shout out to my nigga Uncle Clifford. He be wearing some bullshit. But we love Uncle Clifford.
So we do got a topic that Wes, the normally extremely unprepared Wes, specifically came to me and said that he wanted to discuss. So it looks like somebody's going to get in their scholarly linguistics bag. Wes, would you like to?
Indubitably, my good man. So no, one thing I did see kind of a story going around these past few days is that Lizzo had to chose to re-record lyrics to one of her recent songs after getting some feedback from Twitter and people saying that she was using ableist language. So in one of her songs, I didn't get the song title. But she had a bar or something, da 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 da, I'm a spaz. And she had gotten some tweets, some feedback saying, hey, this is ableist language, and kind of I'm a spaz is kind of a slur because it's speaking to some people who are unable to control like their twitches and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So after hearing all this, she went in and re-recorded that lyric.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, which is huge and interesting to me and to us as kind of big music people we are, especially kind of fans of the rap and kind of R&B, this kind of art form, for artists to go in and change kind of their artistic direction based on the feedback of kind of fans is interesting to see. And I wanted to pose a question to you. Yes. Do you think this is something that we're going to see more often? Is this kind of what do you think?
No, I don't. because for every Lizzo, there is Beat the Pussy Up like Emmett Till. And, you know, I think I think Lizzo is an artist who prides herself on being progressive, obviously, whether it pertains to, you know, sex positivity, body positivity, you know, basically just hearing the voices of the disenfranchised. So Lizzo is somebody who I would not expect to do that, but you know, it seems like something that's in her wheelhouse, and I give her a lot of credit for being able to do that. And despite how easy it is to do that now, again, you couldn't do this back in the day. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't, after the blueprint dropped on 9/11, you couldn't go back in the studio and re-record Takeover and drop that shit in fucking Coconuts or Radio Town, re-release it the next week. You know what I'm saying? That was not a thing. But now, just like if you remember on Travis Scott's album on Astroworld, when your boy Nav had that verse that was on Volume Level 3, and it was like, we can't hear this shit. And then they went back in the studio and re-recorded it and were able to re-release it on streaming, because streaming, you can do that. It's like live updates. It's like live content updates for video games. So there is definitely a path for more artists to be able to do this. However, and I'm specifically talking about rappers, most rappers don't give a fuck.
That's where I was at.
This
might be an issue. This might be something that maybe like the kind of the pop artists might think about more. They might kind of have some pause in kind of their creative process and what they say. But I said, as far as rap, niggas will say anything. Niggas have said anything. Yep. niggas will continue.
And we'll continue to say anything. Yeah.
And
I walked in this bitch not giving a fuck. And I left not giving a fuck. I just seen that shit for the first time again in like years. That nigga really did a flying forearm off the table in Chipotle.
Yeah.
That was impressive. That was impressive.
Hey, listen. Sometimes you got to get up on that sneeze guard. That's not how you feel. But yeah, so I was saying like, yeah, it's and if any rapper gets kind of feedback, like it's either going to be like, I'm like, oh, fuck you. This is I said what I said, or like we've seen it before, like in Rick Ross situation, he apologized, lost some endorsements, but is right back to saying all types of wild shit. So I don't know. It was just something I saw that kind of gave me a little pause, saying, hey, this might kind of affect some genres of music, but it was interesting to see that an artist kind of listened to the fans and kind of took the current time we're in and other people's feelings into consideration when doing music, and that's interesting to see.
Yeah, for sure, man. So definitely shout out to Lizzo on that one. But however, again, as I mentioned, for every Lizzo who's willing to go in and re-record a verse, we got some ain't shit niggas who decided to let off some boo-boo, and we loved it anyway. So we're going to transition that into our next topic, which are our top five trash verses that we loved. So, Wes, do you want to kick this off?
I can start it. I didn't fully do the right topic now that you're saying it. I just gave you five trash verses that I did not love. I just gave you five trash verses.
Okay.
Bad raps.
Bad raps. All right.
That nigga said.
Okay. Thank you for not paying attention again.
I lied. Two of my verses are ones that I love. They're bad, but I love them. The remainder are just bad verses.
All right. Let them bitches fly.
All right. So kind of in reverse order, my five and four, they're both from the same artist. Both from the same time period too. So this artist was just kind of down bad as far as rapping wise.
Yeah.
But they're on two of my favorite songs from one of my favorite artists. They are the verses on Stunt Hard and the verse on Forever from my nigga Kid Kid.
Wow.
His name is on every wanted poster.
Kid Kid. Yeah. Wow.
And when he's not wanted by every lady cop all over, his lines like, I'm about to put on my OJ gloves and go and kill this shit. Made a plumber throw his plunger, like I can't deal with this shit. Take a dookie on a rap producer's loose leaf. You ain't hard, you coochie. Wally Uchi, soft as newborn booty. Lines like, I ball hard, I'm a ball hogger, and I go hard on my like Vince Carter.
Oh God.
I'm back on my grizzly like Izzy after Gurr. All
right.
I'm back on my grizzly like Izzy after Gurr. The feds will never get
that's me. That's one of the worst lines I've ever heard. I ain't gonna hold you. But these verses are one of the worst lines I've ever heard.
In the context of these songs, these shits are incredible. But when you listen to them, just devoid of any type of beat behind it, or when you're reading these lyrics, it's sad to say when some shit like my dad said, anybody can be a fucking rapper nowadays. Niggas can just say anything. Almost 15 years old.
It doesn't have to rhyme. Doesn't have to be on beat anymore. Nothing. The bar is the floor.
The bar is absolutely the floor. But those are two verses that I actually enjoyed. They're just bad rap verses. My three, I had to holler at your boy real quick. It's the second verse on the song Dance, better known as Ass.
Oh, man. Oh, that was a bad one. That was a bad one. Yeah.
Yeah. You got everybody in here, oh my goshing. I have been to many a function. Seen many a baddie, but drop it low, bust it wide, and I've never yelled, oh my gosh. I got that mad dick. You know it always nut up. And it got an attitude. He's referring to his dick. No wonder why it's stuck up. Just rampant, just screaming out sexuals. Those little innuendos. That's really just kind of the two lines that kind of stuck out to me. I just didn't like that verse. I'm not a Sean fan, so I didn't include him on my worst verses list. Number two, it's actually a decent verse, but on Me and My Bitch, the Biggie song, he said, "You look so good, I suck your daddy's dick."
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
again, during it is Pride Month, that is okay, but that is a very weird flex to try and state how good a woman looks to you. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's
it makes zero sense.
Yeah, I don't see any woman saying, "You know what? That okay. Okay. It's the familiar fellatio for me." Yeah, so and that's not a bad song, but that kind of line just kind of ruins kind of everything.
Yes, it does.
Scheme of things, a very bad line from one of the greatest of all times. And my number one verse is a verse that I listened to exactly one time and never listened to again. It's extremely unnecessary. It ruins the song. It almost ruined my enjoyment of the original song. This is the remix that this verse is from. It's just a bad one. And it's the Mask Off Kendrick verse.
Wow. That's right. You're right, though.
It is just a... It's more unnecessary than anything. I've gone back to it to determine if it's like truly bad, but it's so unnecessary. And for the fact that Mask Off, one of Future's bigger songs, ran was on radio, just ran up the charts for quite some time. And when the remix was announced with Kendrick Lamar, you couldn't help but just your shoulders drop, your head fall down, because that is not a song that screams, "I want conscious rap. I need black excellence." It wasn't a place for Kendrick. He didn't deserve it. He didn't belong there.
I agree. So
on a personal level, you fucking with Future that much, I gotta make this my number one.
Yeah, I don't disparage Kendrick Lamar often, but it's the hate is well deserved there. So for my list that I have, number five, this is a very interesting one. Number five for me is Lil Wayne on "You Got Nothing." You ain't got nothing. Now, I want to say this because it started really good. And I thought Wayne was about to take the fuck off. That first four or five bars with the "get you, 3-4, get you, like the number after one, I'm going to get me two." Like that shit, I was like, okay, Wayne, go ahead. Then we got to the middle. As soon as we got to the, better yet, like Diddy, take that. "Wait, rats, I hate rats. I clean them out like Ajax, like paper, like a fax machine. Asinine, damn, I mean asinine, and asinine, I will be done." Bro, what are you talking about? And you say funeral, funeral. You say tomato, I say tomato. You say get him, I say God. Like, nigga, really? I be wallowing like Capital One. What is in your wallet? What does that even mean?
You were alive for those commercials. Don't act like you don't remember.
It just, you know, and I think that was... I think that was a preview. I think that was foreshadowing of what was to come from the trash that we would get from Wayne in later years. So especially when you compare him to Santana and Fab's verses, which were probably some of the best verses of their careers. And then you get that from Wayne. That was definitely a rough one. But I love that shit when it was out.
He was tired from wilding on the rest of that album.
He had to Oh God! So that was my number five. My number four, Styles P on BMF. That was not a good one from the Styles boy. And BMF was one of the top two or three songs of that summer. But first of all, the shock when I heard Styles P on the song at all. And listen, I love me some locks, but soon as I heard the 36 holes in the kilogram, I was like, where are we going with this? Where are we going?
Makes sense to me.
Wilding out fishtail Subaru rally car. Then it keeps going. And did I mention guns from Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Oh man,
it's a bar.
Listen, I'm sure Phil enjoyed that line. Okay, but us, all right. That was not the one, Styles P. But the crazy thing is, once again, it did not hamper the song at all, and I actually know that entire verse front to back, despite its shittiness. It's my number four.
It's wild how it's just a wrong feature from even a good artist can kind of just
Like, how does Styles P even end up on there? What's the story behind that? I think I'd be more interested in that.
When we have Ross on the pod, we'll discuss.
I got you. Number three, Kanye's verse number one on Father Stretch Thy Hands, part one.
See, I would have had that, but it's really just one out. Just the opening is just so outrageous. The rest of the verse is like, it's okay.
No, it's not.
Yeah. He was high when I met him. I was out of Tribeca.
She can under skin if you let her. She can under your skin if you. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to. Like, no, bruh. But of course, and if I met this model and she just bleached her asshole, I get bleach on my t-shirt, I'm going to feel like an asshole. That is the man that y'all stand. That was, I still think the beginning of the end for Kanye was Yeezus, but. That's the one where it was like, nigga, what are you doing? And he still had plenty of good songs on that album. But that's the point where he reached, I'm not even going to attempt to rap anymore. And I'm going to just say some wild ass shit for shock value. And we have not gotten a good bar from him since.
My man just did logical steps. We're shaming logic and following the facts here. We found his model. Facts.
Austin, why are you fucking with a t-shirt on? Huh? Or in Larry David's case, who fucks with glasses on?
I'm not gonna disparage blowing backs in the white tee. Or the Hanes pocketed tee. But
not the pocketed John. Number two, the entirety of Bedrock by Young Money.
The whole song?
Everybody's verse was bad.
Let me get these lyrics up. We're not doing
everybody's verse was bad.
Oh no.
But specifically, there's one man who we obviously have to highlight as having one of the best trash verses of all time, and that is Gutta Gutta.
I see me with her, no Stevie Wonder. See, I think you know. See, look, Stevie Wonder is blind. So when he says I see me with her. No Stevie Wonder. He's saying, unlike Stevie Wonder, because he's blind, I can see her with me.
I like the way you walking. If you walk in my way, I'm that Red Bull. Now let's fly away. Let's buy a place with all kinds of space. I'll let you be the judge. And I'm the case. I'm gonna. I'll put her under. I see me with her. No Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
She don't ever wonder. Cause she knows she bad, and I got her.
Got her, nigga.
Grocery bag.
Damn it, that's a no. Well, listen.
Nah. What's no.
Know where that verse belongs? The Museum of Modern Art. That is an incredible verse. I'm more upset that you said everybody had bad verse.
Let's fast forward to Hardy Nickerson Minaj. I'm the final four bars. I'm so pretty, like, be on my pedal bike. Why would you be on a pedal bike? Be on my little starch. Be on my egg whites. He said, Nikki, don't stop. You the bestest. And I'm just coming off the top as bestest.
That's bars.
Right into, I love your sushi roll. Hotter than wasabi. I race for your love. Shake and bake. Ricky Bobby.
You've seen Talladega. I don't understand the disconnect here. Nikki's
girl, I gotta watch my back so I'm not just anybody.
He's conscious because Drake is not just anybody.
And then I almost forgot about the end from the man who inexplicably has the longest verse on the song, and that's Tyga. She like tan in. I like staying in. He rhymed tanning with staying in.
That's a bar. I don't know what to tell you. She likes
when the show ends, she's all over my skin. Lotion.
All right, we've got to one bed bar this song. Okay. I'll concede.
Oh, yeah. But once again, Bedrock was a certified banger, and I will still go up to it if I hear it out today. But number one, the one that you're not going to like, the greatest trash verse of all time, in Uptown Ace Boogie's opinion. Fanuke the Coop to the Ghost, dog. French Montana on Stay Scheming. Now, Montana we are
on a song with prime Rick Ross and
yes,
pretty much prime Drake and had the most.
Now, understand, we are both French Montana fans, all right? But we also know what comes with French Montana. You're not listening to a French Montana song to get A1 bars, okay? You listening because he's going to give you a banger, right? But banger doesn't necessarily mean that the verse is going to be coherent at all. And that verse, Mr. Montana, was not. As great as it was, it's iconic. It may be the most iconic verse of 2011.
The theme, it's got a theme. I think you're wrong. I'm gonna put a cap challenge in.
Cap challenge. Okay. Cap challenge.
The theme
bar by bar.
All right, go ahead.
Bar by bar.
Okay.
Fanute the Coop to the Ghost, dog. Just made up some shit.
Well, it's a misunderstanding. As you know, French was shot in the head.
Huh? I'm so sorry. Right. Yeah, that's on me. So sorry. Pigeons on the roof like ghosts, dog. Dwight Howard on the post, dog. My niggas got that powder through the post, dog.
Selling drugs.
Watch the body tilt when you hit the head.
Murder.
Oh, I do love that bar. Niggas lost mil trying to beat the feds.
It's a fact.
10 grams off my last 250 now. Big ass crib 250 down. Damn. Gave my nigga max a 7.5. Huh? And gave my nigga penthouse another 30. Got me thinking like I'm 7.5. A nigga ain't even seen 30. But here's what you have to understand. Did he say real shit? Absolutely. But just because he said real shit does not mean that he put it together in an articulate way. That is a bad verse, execution-wise. Content-wise, incredible. The execution is trash.
I think that you can point to just about any rap verse on almost any rap song. Mm-hmm. Like the guys who are kind of known for their rapping like that. And you can kind of get to this level of kind of just bouncing around.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of whatever. And you can find much worse verses than this. This might not be the worst verse on this song. It's not the worst verse on this song.
Really?
Ross didn't say a whole lot.
He didn't. That's true. It was not one of Ross's best ones. Now,
Rick mentioned spaghetti bolognese like 5 times.
Spaghetti bolognese at the Polo Lounge. Must be good, I assume. Now, a verse that I did not include on here. Pee-wee Longway's first verse on the Jackie Tan remix.
We're not doing no Pee-wee. Listen. You can talk
about Jackie Tan, my shit. It took me a while to come around, but I'm definitely a Longway guy.
Oh my god, I love you. That's when you just were you telling me about Big Moochie Green. I went back and listened.
Big Moochie Green. Big Moochie Grape.
Big Moochie Green. Big Moochie Grape.
Big Moochie
Betrayal.
Sir.
Yes, he is just a modern day Pee-wee Longway, I gathered from listening to him. Which is fine, because Pee-wee Longway is that nigga.
Yeah, for sure. Big Moochie Grape definitely next up, carrying on that Dolph legacy. He definitely gives some old Gucci vibes, which, you know, we appreciate that on any level. So shout out to him, shout out to the whole Paper Route Empire. You know, still holding it down and shit. But we're gonna switch up the order a little bit. So we do got one more topic, musically, that we want to get into. We ain't trying to keep y'all long. You know what I'm saying? It's almost Juneteenth, so we know we gotta y'all gotta get y'all koofies ready. Gotta lay them out the night before and shit. You feel me? Get ready for the holiday.
Got my dashiki laid out, got my ham hocks and marinating.
No swan, brother. Come on now.
I'm taking it all the way back.
Why at the cookout? Yeah. Whip, you know what I'm saying? Listen, the middle passage on VS5, baby. But so we gonna go ahead and do the L's of the week right the fuck now. So, L's of the week, my nigga.
Let's see. Yeah, I got my L of the week. We touched on it very briefly earlier. My L, all of us who drive, because gas prices are more buck wild than Shorty on Ray J's show.
Yes. No. No.
No, for
Flav.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More buck wild than that. So right now, this article came out the other day that said the national average for a gallon of gas is now over $5.
Yes.
That's up almost two full dollars from this time last year.
So for and let's not forget where we were and during the panty when that shit got down here to like 130.
Man, it's to see gas jump $2 in any scenario is fucking nuts. But to do it in a year is wild, especially with, like, you said earlier, kind of the cost of kind of everything else going up too.
Mm-hmm.
So the L is, if you're driving, like, I've got to the point where it's been, you know, saying a nigga like me, who's getting to this motherfucking bread and is real nigga, drives a luxury vehicle. So I've been putting premium gas in my car.
Ooh, premium. God damn, nigga. I be using super, but oof. Hell no.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I put 250 down, like French said on it. So, I've been at the point where I don't even look at, like, the price of gas when I'm really putting it in. But now it's like, this got me acting like a broke, you know what I'm saying? I'm never living with you, but now this got me acting like a broke nigga. I'm out here putting gas in my car like a quarter tank at a time and some shit because this prices are fucking ridiculous.
That's tough, B. That's tough, but I mean... And it's not going down anytime soon. As a matter of fact, it's probably going to go up even more. Man,
Biden's out here wilding, even though it's not really his fault per se. But we got a point to figure somebody.
Oh, yeah. Get that old nigga out of here, bro. Bit collective ill on the entirety of America. Everybody right now, and again, everybody right now is going through something, terrible. It's hard to focus on, personal shit that you got going on because the world is in fucking shambles. It's an absolute chaos. So, you know, my elder week is kind of in a similar vein. It just kind of collectively falls on the head of all Americans right now. We are all losing pretty badly, I would say. You know, land of the free, home of the brave, all that bullshit. We are looking at, again, kind of went over it all earlier, mass shootings every day. There's been since the shooting in Texas, which I don't think we even, you know, discussed in full detail.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a mass shooting every day but one since that shit happened. Every single day since.
Yep. What's the definition of mass? Is it three or four people? What is the
four? Yeah. So we've had more mass shootings so far this year than any other year in U.S. history through 6 months. You know, whether it's that or the cost of living being astronomical, shortages of essential supplies like baby formula and food. You know, obviously the constant fear of, you know, a fucking government getting toppled and overturned, like we fucking Oswald Mosley, you know, can't forget about that. All the hate crimes that are going on constantly, impending race war, everything else, natural disasters, any and everything that you can think of, we are all going through right now. And I mean any and everything. So I want to use this as a reminder, not as an ill per se, but I just want to use this as a reminder. Please take care of yourselves the best way that you can. I know that it's a lot more difficult right now to take care of yourself, but do not lose sight of yourself and your physical and your mental health through all this fucking turmoil. You know, you gotta protect you, and you gotta protect your family, you gotta do what you gotta do. Oh, and let's not forget the resurgence of COVID along with the looming threat of monkeypox too. So yeah, that's literally every area, economy, infrastructure, race relations, politics, health, we are losing horribly. Yes. Violence. Crime.
Some of those down bad we've been kind of collectively as a country from quite some time.
Yeah. So, you know, there will be brighter days at some point. Can't tell you how bright exactly or when it's going to happen, but the tough times don't last for forever. All right. So it's literally, if you are here today, if you are alive, if you are, you know, able-bodied, not able-bodied, you know, anything, please count every blessing that you got. And you will get through this. You will get through this. Your people will get through this in one way or another. So that's kind of where, you know, I'm kind of positioning my L this week. But we want to end on a high note. So we talked about some music verses that, you know, we liked but were objectively garbage. So we're going to end talking about what has been some things, a few bright spots that we've had in 2022, and that's our best projects of 2022. Wes, you got some?
Of course I do. I know our lists are going to be wildly different.
Yeah.
Based on our wildly different, but also the same music taste.
Yes.
So I'll run through. You got honorable mentions?
Yes, I got a few.
All right. So I'll run through my honorable mentions. I don't think you might have one or two of these on your list, but we'll cross those paths when we get there. One of my honorable mentions is, actually, I'll start from the bottom, work my way up, pause. Last one's left, 42 Doug and ESTG.
Good
the
one.
Two brightest shining stars on the Cocaine Merzik Group label.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Together, dropped a nice little mixtape showcasing kind of both them kind of at their best, collabing back and forth. Pretty solid tape. I was expecting a lot from it, and it lived up to it. Another honorable mention is Digital Roses Don't Die, Big Crit, his return. Crit's more of kind of sing-songy, more of a lovey, introspective Crit, as opposed to kind of trunk rattling bangers on the
My trunk pussy pop.
His trunk was not pussy popping on this one, but he gave us a tremendous project.
Bring back Trinidad James.
And my next album. It's like, nah, I guess.
Oh, wow. Good. Wow. Listen, if Spitta can bring back Young Dro. All
right, listen.
On Spring Cleaning 2, then anything is possible. yes?
Trinidad James. What we used to do in high school, them things is the something is to something and something is to something.
Yeah. Whatever those are called.
Whatever the bitch is called. Trinidad James is not whatever the equivalent is to Young Dro. I say that to say.
Oh, man.
That.
The fact that Young Dro has been in the news two times in the last 2 weeks is a wonderful thing.
What was the second thing?
It brought him out. A-Ball MJG brought him out to Versus.
Ah, well done.
Polo from head to toe. As always.
You know. I used to do a Young Dro song before high school football games. Shout out to House on Me, if you're familiar.
Good song.
Yeah. So, and then, okay, another, my honorable mention is kind of a random list. I got some random shit for you already now and again. This one is Texas Moon by a group called Krungabin and Leon Bridges.
Leon Bridges.
Yeah.
Luda?
Not Christopher.
Oh.
Leon.
Sorry.
It's kind of described, this is kind of like a, it's kind of a weird, I don't know how to describe their music.
Yeah. Is it lo-fi?
No, it's not lo-fi. Let me see if I can kind of get like what their thing are. But they, I've been fucking with them for a little bit.
I forget occasionally that you are a weirdo.
Yeah, I am. they say a smooth instrumental from a mercurial combination of influence. Thai funk, Iranian pop, Jamaican dub, surf rock, old school, 60 synth.
That is wild, wild combination.
They make some good fucking music, man. The nigga Bomani Jones put me on. A couple years ago, they put out Texas Sun, and this is kind of a follow up to that. It's a darker sound from them. And if you're just in some metal shit, you know what I'm saying? You're just like sitting, playing a video game, watching TV, you need some shit in the background to kind of mellow you out. That's a good thing to put on. I'll speed the rest. I got three more honorable mentions. Shiesty Season Certified. Pooh Shiesty added a couple more tracks on the Shiesty Season.
That counts. our number one of midway through 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are.
Free the Guy. And a couple of bangers, a couple of the songs he added are fucking monsters, at least in my playlist. A newer album that just dropped that I'm fucking with heavy. It's Lost Souls by Vori. We've kind of been, Vori has been kind of been teased, paused for a while. Meek has had him on a few songs for some years. And this is kind of his like introduction. As far as album wise, it's pretty solid. Mm-hmm. He's got a unique kind of sound. And he does his thing here. And then my last album mentioned, I'm sure we'll get to it, is Tan Talk 4.
Yes.
All right, Mr. Butcher, Benny. Mm-hmm. Benny gives us another Benny project. Boom Bap Beats, The Great Raps. Benny
Again, the intersection of our group chats, one person that we can all agree on, and that's rare.
I don't know. I don't know if all of us can, especially what he did to one of our group favorites.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot about that. But very strong honorable mentions. My honorable mentions, I Know Nego by the producer, who's apparently been around for a long time, but I did not know who he was until the run-up to this album. Tremendous. I mean, some of the best production that we've heard this year. He is an associate of Pharrell and Chad, so no surprise by that, but... Really, I think it's maybe 10 songs, but top to bottom, the production is flawless, bro. An all-star list of collaborators, because obviously he's a producer, so he can't actually rap himself. But top to bottom, he got
the Gunna feature. I heard that was a very good song.
Pharrell and Gunna got a song with Rocky, a song with The Clips, a song with Cudi. Song with Ferg, a couple with Push. You got one with Pop Smoke that's real good.
Working, don't he?
Yeah, apparently. Got one with Tyler, and then got another one, which is one of the best songs, maybe my favorite song of 2022 so far, which is that Lost and Found freestyle with ASAP and Tyler rapping over the Three Kings and I'm a Boss beats. Shout out to Slim Thugger. So that's definitely a big honorable mention there. Another one, CM10 Free Game. We talk about Gotti being one of the most consistent in the world, Craig. Gotta show him some love there. Wiz and Juicy J, Stoner's Night. Another real good one for me. It really is probably the closest thing we've heard to Cabin Fever 1. Even more than Cabin Fever 2. It really, them niggas really kind of jumped in a time capsule and took you back to February 2011, with some fire production behind them too. So I got to get him that. Let's see what else. I feel like I had like one more. I'm not sure. You know, he barely be working now. And then my last one was actually, Drip Season Forever, which I'm sure is in your at least your top two. And it is something that I really, really, really enjoy. I am a Gunna guy, but it is not, didn't crack my top five though.
You're a Gunna guy. And on his books.
And it is, and I do want to mention, it is the highest selling album of 2022 so far. So let's give, let's give the Perky Man some credit. But I just think the other projects on the list, and not even saying they're better, I think I've spent more time with the other ones. I'll put it that way.
That's weird because this one's been out the longest. We can go back and forth in our top five. But yeah, my five actually was Drip Season 4, Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Gunna, he introduced me to a guy named John B on one of the songs. I don't know if you guys have heard of him.
Never heard of him.
He did that thing. But nah, this is Gunna is, my thing about Gunna is Gunna just doesn't make bad music. Mm-hmm. He's a nigga that's kind of knows what he can bring, and he's a special talent in that I think he can kind of adapt to kind of any type of beat you put on. But when he's most comfortable in his, and when he gets with Wheezy and linking up on some melodic type shit, he does his thing. That was I fuck with Gunna. Like, Gunna's one of my, probably like one of my top three or four favorite artists. Of the last couple of years, and so this was definitely my
that boy down bad, man. Pray for Gunna.
Free to God, pray for Gunna, bro. That was my five.
Okay. I actually forgot. I thought 10 and Talk 4 was in my top five. It was actually one of my honorable mentions. But shout out to Benny the Butcher. You know, he ain't never gonna be too far away. More bars. My number five is Don FM though. Boy, man, listen, and that was an album, again, for the first month, maybe bordering on two, I was like, yeah, I don't know, bro. You know, that 80s disco shit, it's not like The Weeknd can't do it, but I don't want to hear a whole album of it. Man, after I really, really, really spent some time with it, Weeknd did his motherfucking thing on there, bro. He got a few special records on that bitch. It's not his best project, or not even close. It's probably not his best album either, but he really gave us, I feel like he really, really, really captured the 80s vibe, and not in a Tory Lanez type of way. Again, I have not listened to Tory Lanez in a very long time. I want to make that clear too. But I mean, in that when Tory samples shit, you know, he's literally just looking to replicate the sound. You get what I'm saying? He's sampling shit. He's trying to basically make a new version of these songs, these old songs that he wants to recreate. He may be able to replicate the sound, but The Weeknd is trying to restore the feeling. You get what I'm saying? That nigga is literally trying to take us back to cocaine 80s. And it is, more than anything, it's a vibe. When you close your eyes and you listen to Don FM, nigga, you are in the middle of a mall in front of a Radio Shack. You know what I'm saying? With an Orange Julius in your hand and cocaine in your nose.
Oh, my God. I can't fully respond without telling on myself here. But this is I had actually as my number two.
Okay.
Because as previously discussed on here, I love me some 80s type music. All the heavy synths and the big keys behind them shits. I love that type of sound. And The Weeknd smoked this album. He
absolutely.
Yeah, I was kind of like you. The first few listens, I was like,
you were bullish.
I was a little bullish, but it's definitely, as I sat with it more, it grew, and I grew to enjoy pretty much every song. There's not really any.
Just about. Any real it ain't. It ain't no skips, bro.
It's one of the bitches you can just run from the top all the way down, which is impressive now in today's music. And it's for being kind of as long as it was,
nigga. Is there someone else out of time? Out of time.
Is there someone else? That's gonna be in my top five songs played of the year.
Yeah.
Nigga, Best Friends is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrifice, Gasoline, Lil Wayne. He got Wayne out here not talking entire verse of nonsense.
No.
Um,
yeah.
Yeah. That was my number two. So that's something we have in common on the list. Okay. My number four. Mm-hmm. That was a surprise to me. It's that Full Court Press. It's that from Wiz Khalifa. Big Crit, Smoke Dizza.
No more Erasure of Sledgerin. God damn it.
Mm. And it's produced by Girl Talk. I stumbled across this. How did I come across? Oh, on Instagram. I'm scrolling Instagram one day and I see Crit post a video talking about, I got a new project. And I was like, wait a minute, you just dropped the album. What are you talking about? And I go to find out that he dropped a little collab tape with the guys. As you know, Crit, Wiz, and Dizza have been fucking with each other for the longest. Mm-hmm. Drinks at the ass in his glass house. So this kind of Girl Talk threw a whole bunch of beats together, and these niggas just kind of took turns jumping on different songs, rapping on them. Currency's there, and it's just a good kind of vibe song. It's not like a super it's not like a big event type of a album, but it's an album where that you could tell these guys locked in with each other for probably a week or so. Just going through these beats, kind of just had fun. And this was kind of a fun little album for me. It's something that I wasn't expecting. When I saw the names, I was like, you know what? These are guys I fuck with. This can only be so bad. And it turned out really good.
Yeah, no. And you know, I really enjoyed it too. I don't think Crit's ever made anything that I didn't like, to be honest. But I gotta give Wiz some first place votes for old nigga comeback player of the year, because we've talked about it on this pod. Wiz was somebody who I was not checking for at all, and you've been checking for him for even longer.
Facts.
But you know, early this year, when I just out of nowhere, I was just on Twitter and I saw Cardo tweet out, "Hey, I got a new project with Wiz. Wiz got wings." Took a listen to it. I was like, this feels good. This feels like the Wiz. Not that it sounded like old Wiz or that it felt like old Wiz, but it felt like the old Wiz attitude, which was him making songs for him and his niggas to smoke to. Not being concerned about industry shit or making a hit single or doing whatever, just getting in his comfortable bag and making music for, not trying to make music to draw in more fans, but making music for niggas that fuck with Wiz. You know what I'm saying? And then he goes from that to the Stoner's Night with Juicy J that I mentioned, which was real throwback to Cabin Fever. And then on to this project. Wiz has had a good year, man. I got to get a bull some credit on that one.
Salute the young Khalifa, man.
So my number four is D-Day. Gangsta Grills, you bastards. The Dreamville mixtape, D-Day.
This nigga likes Earth Gang.
hell of a project. And once again, a project that, I mean, they've been killing it for years now. Cole is obviously, you know, to some people, the best rapper alive. But there is just some special synergy about Dreamville and their chemistry is off the charts, because we talk about all the time, we talk about how when it's time to put together these compilation projects, these group albums and shit, that you realize it's just a bunch of niggas on a label. You know what I'm saying? It's not people that really fuck with each other or people whose styles mesh. It's just a bunch of random niggas on a label with some random beats and some random verses. But Dreamville projects, really, you feel the energy and you feel the synergy coming from them. And that's what makes them so good. Dreamville is greater than the sum of any of its parts. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, obviously outside of Cole, I like Jid, but like Jid's not, you know, not to say Jid's not good, but he's not someone who's made his mark as a solo artist yet, at least. Boss? Come on now. Earth Gang? Come on, bro. You know what I'm saying? Then there's always beautiful, sweet Ari Lennox. But when they come together, they really come together and form Voltron. And this project, obviously, from the beginning with that first song, Stick, which is a banger. They really did their thing on here, man. I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, so it's, I've never really been a Dreamville fan, but every time I kind of tap into one of their songs or something, I like what I hear. Yeah, like you said, speaking of the cohesion, like no one really seems out of place. They all kind of, and that's like a testament to kind of Cole's ability to kind of find niggas too. It's not just he's finding a bunch of random niggas, he's finding niggas who kind of like have a specific sound or fit up his specific ideal. And like you said, that's why they ended up on your top five, man. They doing their thing, man. Salute to them.
Yes, sir. Number three.
You know I had to do it one time. I had to put I Never Liked You.
Yeah, me too. the shit that I went from calling mid to being my soundtrack of the summer.
I had all the slurs in the clip ready for your ass. We talked about it on the podcast before. My dog said it was mid. He gave it like 12, maybe 18 hours, and it's called a mid. And I almost had a heart attack because future can only be so bad. And this is not bad future. This is his first album in two years. Yeah, I think.
High of Life. That was 2020.
It was for sure pandemic. I think it was early pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes, Future came back. And like we talked about kind of in our group chat, for me, this isn't the best Future project. It's not a perfect Future project. There are a few lows here, but the highs on this album for me are extremely high. Songs like
yes.
I'm That Nigga, songs like Puffin' on Zooties, the Drake, Wait For You, Massaging Me. When he said he was Miami to Skyami, that was the head blown up emoji. I had no idea how anybody could think of something like that. But now Future, we come to Future for the Toxic Bops.
Hasn't let us down.
And Future kind of delivers and he gets back.
He'll be back with Lori Harvey in no time. Which is what we were saying. I was like, oh, he gonna get her back one day. I don't know when, but it's gonna happen.
Look at guy work. and then even like with Future, like one of my, like I said, we're huge fans of Hendrix and the Wait For You's, the Love You Betters.
Yes.
The Back to Bear, the way things go on, songs like that, Back to Basics. He kind of gives you that side of him too. Which I think R&B Future, we talk about it many times, R&B Future could be a monster if you kind of fully want that.
On its own. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a great Future project. Something that probably is going to end up being it's already one of my most played albums of the year. It's going to definitely show end up being like top three or four. Just great.
For sure. Yep. For sure, man. Also, same. Also, my number three. Feel like you summed it up very well. Future's going to give you what you're looking for better or for worse. I think I have criticized Future in the past for his lack of growth. But his lack of growth is part of his charm. that's what makes him him. And one day that charm will run out. It runs out for everybody. However, it apparently ain't now because this was Future's highest selling first week album. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's
he moved, I believe.
DS2?
It was near 200,000 first week.
That's
which is
impressive.
Insane. That is insane.
Anybody outside of like the big three.
Yeah.
The 200 ranges is a
super. Especially considering he came into this album kind of cold. You know what I'm saying? He didn't really have, you know, he was on Pushing P and shit, but like he didn't really have like his normal smash Future lead in single for this album. You get what I'm saying? So he really just kind of he pulled 200,000 out of his ass, bro. Which makes it even more impressive.
It's Future, man.
Yeah, man. I Never Liked You. He did it again. God damn it, he did it again. So shout out to Future, never letting us down.
My king. My number two, we talked about before, was Don FM. What's your number two?
Number two, you know, I can only go so far without letting the cornrows out. My number two, It's Almost Dry Pusha T.
I thought this was going to be your number one, to be honest.
I knew. It's Almost Dry. Wow, not as good as Daytona, but Daytona is a classic, so it's hard to say that. Definitely, you can see the areas where he improved. You can see the areas where he kind of tightened up. And, you know, listening to some interviews, his Drink Champs and everything, he was talking about, which Drink Champs interview was very disrespectful of Drake, extremely.
I didn't watch. I'm gonna be honest. I haven't watched the Drink Champs in a while.
It's been some good ones the last 6-7 weeks, but they've been doing live shows.
Oh my god!
Nori with a live mic, but you know he talked about Pharrell really getting on his ass to not just go in there and just rap your ass off. You've proven that you can rap your ass off. You need to make songs. You know what I'm saying? Make quality songs that motherfuckers is gone. Not to say they don't remember your other shit, but make sure they remember the song just as much as they remember the bar. And I feel like that's what he set out to do on his Almost Dry. And just a number of just quality songs from top to bottom. From Brambleton, the intro, the Neck and Wrist with Hov. He pulled a good verse out of Hov on that one. Hov was talking big shit. You know, to just so you were, you said what?
So you know it, Dad Hov at the sideline talking that talk. You seen him?
To just so you remember, Scrape It Off with Uzi and Don Toliver, hell of a combination there. He left nothing on the table, and that's how he got his first number one album. So shout out to Push, well earned, well deserved. My number two so far, 2022.
I don't still understand how the feds locking up niggas like my YSL niggas, but this nigga for 30 years and he's still on the street.
30 years.
Mm-hmm. Either it's Cap or he's snitching. No, I'm playing. Shout out to Push, man. My number one album is a very surprising
very
album.
Very big of you.
Yeah. So this was kind of a shock to me.
Okay.
It's an artist who I fucked with. I enjoyed their last work, but then this one dropped, and it's something that kind of took me by surprise, and something that I just continue to find myself running back to, and it is Before You Go by Blast.
Your boy Blist.
Yes, BL.
Yeah.
Blast, and it's fucked up because I made this statement. I think I tweeted it out when shortly after this album dropped. I said Blast makes the same song over and over again.
Yeah,
but it's good. Like he is artists similar to like what I was speaking on. Gunna is artists who kind of knows their lane and what they're here to do, and Blast does that. He's got, if you're not familiar, he's a nigga from L.A. Mm-hmm. He's kind of singy, rappy type of music like that. And he gets great beats. I don't know for who his production is. He gets great fucking production. And he kind of does his thing. Like, I would definitely advise you to go ahead and listen to it. And this project is huge from him, coming off his last work, which I enjoyed a lot. This new album's got features from Aaron Ray, from Rick Ross, Sakari, and he's going in. And it's just some good feel good music too. It's surprising, like I said, it shocked me as much as I keep bringing it back and playing it all the time. But I definitely would advise you to check it out. Blasted is fucking this album.
Well,
are you familiar with this album?
Yes, not with the album. I'm familiar with Blast. I've not listened to, I've heard songs off the album. I've not heard the whole thing. However, is definitely someone who definitely been hearing his name a lot. Definitely whenever I do hear it, I enjoy it. So I think I'm upon your suggestion, I'm going to definitely go back and take a listen to it. Always happy to hear more new young artists kind of, you know, permeating the fabric of the culture. We always here for that.
I said, remember, ladies and gentlemen, I gave y'all Pooh Shiesty a couple years earlier. I got a little taste. I know a little bit what I'm doing. So Warner Brothers wants me and Austin blow up on our podcast, and then once we immediately break up horribly, ready to A&R So hit my line.
For sure. And we will do nothing in the studio, just like A&R Bron. But my number one, speaking of LA niggas, you know I had to do it to him.
Yeah, I knew one.
The Big Steppa himself, Kendrick Lamar, finally made his comeback with Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. And to me, he did not disappoint. I ain't gonna act like it wasn't some people that weren't disappointed, but I really, really, really enjoyed Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Not because it's different. I don't think it's really anything that we haven't heard from Kendrick before, but I will say that I'm enjoying it quite a bit because it took the parts that I did not like about To Pimp a Butterfly and improved on them. So To Pimp a Butterfly, my issue was, to be honest, replay value. My issue was feeling like it was something that was pivotal in that moment, exactly what we needed in that moment in 2016. But as time carried on, sonically, the songs just didn't hold up to me. I just don't think that just audibly, sonically, as much amazing shit, monumental, pivotal, you know, life-changing social justice shit that he was spitting, some of the songs just don't sound that good. Period.
Heavy ass album. That's something you want to, right. You can just throw on. It's an album that I hate to say it, scares the hoes.
The scare of the hoes debate, I think, is one of the best things that has come across Twitter in recent years. And yes, it scares the hoes. It's heavy. At the end of the day, I like music, regardless of what it is. I like music that I can throw on in any time, in damn near any setting, and be comfortable with that shit and feel like it's going to give me what I need. Whether that is R&B, whether it's depressing Drake, whether it's Future, whether it's trap shit, whether it's bars, I want to be able to listen to this shit while I'm sitting in my bed, while I'm doing work, while I'm driving, while I'm at a function. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that shit. You cannot do that shit with no goddamn To Pimp a Butterfly. And I don't give a fuck what nobody got to say about that. Doesn't take away from his greatness, but it was the perfect album for the perfect time, not the perfect album for 6 years afterwards. So I really feel like he made, instead of making a To Pimp a Butterfly was socially conscious, maybe at times a little preachy. You know what I'm saying? He's speaking on the issues of black people as a whole in this world, which needed to be spoken upon at that time. This is a little bit more personal. He's speaking more on, you know, yes, how his personal issues interweave into the black narrative, you know, overall, but taking a more introspective look at the things that he was preaching about on a general level on that album. So, you know, you got shit on here where he's talking about, you know, his uncle and his cousin transitioning. You get what I'm saying? Or talking about being a sex addict, or talking about one of my favorite songs on the album, that toxic ass We Cry Together with Taylor Page. With the fine ass Taylor Page, who I definitely feel like killed that shit. I know he wrote it, but she performed it. And this was shit that's, you know, sometimes it's jarring, but it's real as fuck. And it's really shit that everyone can relate to, not just because we're all black and we're all children of the diaspora, but because these are everyday issues, personal inner conflicts that we feel. You know, threw a couple more bangers on there. There was a lot of Big Yak on that bitch. Kodak was all over that shit, bruh. He was on like four songs, I think. He got blast on one song. And I really feel like he made something finally that not only hit on the social justice part, but also got some replay value. Something that we'll look back on in 5 years and not be like, eh. So,
similar. You know how I feel about Kendrick.
Yes.
But no, I actually gave this album a couple spins. And I enjoyed it. This is one of the more enjoyable Kendrick projects for me. definitely, like, as far as my kind of Kendrick hierarchy, like, Good Kid, Mad City is there, Damn is there, and then it's this one. Like,
Good Kid, Mad City is always number one. I don't think anything could possibly
a lot of people eclipse that. A lot of the discussion I see when it comes to Kendrick is Butterfly is number one, which is insane to me.
No fucking way. But yeah, no fucking way.
This is actually, for me, who's not like a Kendrick ass nigga, this was actually an enjoyable Kendrick album, and I like kind of the direction he went here. I'm surprised. Like, I understand why people feel like, I don't understand why you made it your number one. It definitely deserves its kind of adulation. Kendrick coming back for the first time 5 years or so.
2017 was Damn.
Yeah, it was Damn. Mm-hmm. Nah, salute, big salute to Kendrick. He quickly established himself as one of the greats in rap, and he's only continued to kind of build on that legacy, much like a Steph. And when it's all said and done, he's going to be viewed as one of the greatest to ever do it.
Period.
And it's pretty dope to kind of be around to kind of watch his process.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So it's you know, I talked about how Cole
Gun is out, felt like, is what it is.
I felt like Cole had earned that Best Rapper Alive spot just because of just the quality and the quantity of content that he put out since Kendrick's last album. And I said specifically, you know, preface that by saying if Kendrick drops him, he can take it right back. And I feel like that's exactly what he did. You know, it's with Kendrick, it's more a matter of when than it is if. So, you know, he definitely delivered with this, which I feel like was an album that was really representative of where he is right now as a person. He's probably only going to get even more woke and even more wildly creative now that he's getting off of TDE and doesn't have to deal with those hacks punching Top Dog anymore. So we'll see where he goes, but I think the one thing we can agree on, the consensus, is that regardless of what Kendrick does, Mr. Keem is the future.
Oh yeah, yeah. When it says Kendrick, I just say Kendrick's one of the greatest of all time. But Keem is miles better than him. The baby Keem is that guy. I want to issue another cap challenge, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
You said that Kendrick snatched the title of Best Rapper Alive from Cole.
Yeah.
We got niggas like Sada Baby out here saying bars such as "Made a bitch crawl forward like Jamal." I'm the shooter that's been getting money. You just got here, mellow ball. I'm the brother out here that's really crunching. You ain't nothing. You jello ball. So
yeah, Sada's got the best basketball references of all time. Outside of what's our white boy since
99?
Yeah, he's been quiet for a little while.
Streets been waiting on since 99, man. So salute to everybody who made our list. Salute to Sada too. Sada dropped the scuba Sada 2.5 or something. He's forever teasing the album, but he said his album's coming this year. So we'll see. But nah, salute to everybody who on our album list to make our top five or honorable mention. You got to be doing some shit.
Yes, sir.
And to everybody did they shit, man. Come on the podcast, talk about it.
Yes, literally, you all have the invite. Yeah, man, but that's it. That's going to wrap it the fuck up. Thanks for listening and shit. You know, once again, signing off for your boys. Uptown Ace Boogie, at Ain't That Wiz. Follow the show pages on IG and Twitter, at Beware the Ills. Go ahead, drop a rate. Make it 5 stars. We've been over this. Mm-hmm. A like, a share, retweet, tell a friend. Go ahead, tap in. We want to make sure by the time we get to episode 69, that we have that X video sponsorship. So to make that happen, y'all gotta tap the fuck in. That's the only way.
Y'all gotta put in the work. So
if we gonna pop up at the what's they called, the AN.
The AVN.
Yes.
You got the library. The live brother. It's me.
That is our goal. That is our dream, to pop up at the AVN Awards with Ava Devine on my arm.
Boy. I got the ass. And then another one. Oh my god!
And Miss B Nasty on the other side. So make sure.
Oh brother!
All right. Make sure that you support us in our dreams the way we support you all in yours. Okay, so signing off. Beware the ills. Freak Bulls of the Year. We out.
Peace.